Did you get enough food? If not, there's more probably down there. And I'm sure you can probably feast upon that. The preaching point, and I threw away my old bulletin, was to talk about a verse regarding Thanksgiving and what the Lord has taught you about giving thanks, about being thankful from that specific verse. And there are a ton. So there might be some duplicates in here, and that's okay. You know, if there's one thing I know is that not everybody presents the same way out of the same verse. I mean, that's the beauty of the Word of God. One person can get one part of it and then present it in a way that somebody gets something from that part, and then another person presents another aspect of it, and they get something from that. So it's great to do that. So we've got six people, so I'm not going to waste too much time, but there is one thing that I wanted to mention. I was going to mention it this morning, but I need to mention it now just to make sure. Just as an FYI, you know, obviously, if you ever peruse around and you're wandering into my office, you'll see there's a bookshelf that has some Bibles that are on there. One of the things about obviously having the name God's Word Baptist Church is we want to make the Word of God available to anybody that wants a Bible. So if you're, you know, have somebody that you know that maybe is a new believer, you know, again, I'm not trying to take away from anybody that like christianbook.com or where else people buy Bibles nowadays, because it's hard to find them anywhere. I mean, I think you can still find them in Walmart, and you can find them in other areas, but the one thing that I think my wife found one at Walgreens the other day. That was weird. But before you go there, come and check and see with me, because generally some of the ones that we have are a little higher quality, because we want Bibles to last a long time. The one that I've had this one for decades, and as you can see, all the gold gilding that was on it is now worn off. A bunch of the thumb index tabs have fallen off. The thing is, like, you know, stained yellow with the oils and stuff. But again, it's a good quality Bible, and it lasts a long time. So we've got some that are down there and that are available. Again, you know, if somebody wants one or gets one or something, you know, needs one, please just come and check and see with me. And you can take a look at some of those ones that we have down there. We've got all different sizes. We've got some good study Bibles. And if there's one that you're like specifically looking for, let me know. We've been able to get that for some people here. And I just want to make sure that everybody's aware that that is part of what we do here at God's Word Baptist Church, is want to make sure that people get a Bible if they need one. So, all right. So, I would say it's a random order, but I'm just going to go ahead and randomly pick here, not based upon any preferential treatment at all. So, Chris, you're up first. Sorry, I'm just going to spring it on you guys. I'm not going to tell you what order you're in. Yeah. So, and stay in this general area.
Yeah, right.
Mike, stay. That's what this is for. I'm going to pin this on you.
If you're a wanderer, let me know.
All right. Prior to being saved, I held an attitude of, you know, yeah, there's a God. Yeah, he created things. You know, he just kind of walked away and just kind of left, you know, mankind to himself. And subject to heaven came up, and subject to hell came up. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll get judged, and my good outweighs the bad, and I'm in. You know, that kind of thing, you know, it's just standard, you know, agnostic attitude. A faithful witness, though, took me to the book of Romans, and he showed me in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 10, showed me some passages. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, he showed me the following. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. It's like, oh, well, yeah, well, I've been good. I'm somewhat righteous. I'll still be okay. Then he took me over to 3:23 in the book of Romans. For all sin come short of the glory of God. Well, yeah, I know I've fallen short, but still, you know, I'm still a good person. I haven't killed anybody, you know. Yeah, I've told a white lie here and there, you know, cheated a little bit here and there, but I haven't killed anybody, you know, haven't, you know, robbed a bank, you know, I'm not on the lam, you know. I'm still good. And then took me to Romans chapter 5 in verses 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Now, I've heard of Jesus. You know, and I heard, you know, he's a good man. He was a good teacher. But God? Jesus? Huh. He took me over to chapter 6 of Romans, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of my sin? What I've done wrong? I deserve death? Well, yeah, I don't have, nobody lives forever. You know, we're going to die. And, you know, we're still going to be, you know, we'll get to heaven some way, somehow. But no, in this verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's only one way. And I'm like, oh. And at that point, I realized I was a sinner. And I needed a Savior. I couldn't get to heaven on my own. And at that point that I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And it's been a long road. But to finalize everything, the person that led me to the Lord gave me my life's verse. And this was the first verse of Scripture I ever memorized in my entire life. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, even me, God cared enough, Jesus Christ cared enough to go to the cross for me. He knew who I was. He knew what I've done. But yet he saw through all that and saw my soul. And he valued my soul to be beaten, run through a kangaroo court, have a cross laid on his back, drag it through the city, go up to the hill, get nailed on it, and suffer everything for me. I don't deserve that. But then again, whosoever... Whosoever means even me. Amen. That has stuck with me from that day to this day. And I'm so thankful that this verse is in the Bible. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. It doesn't matter what you've done. Yeah. It doesn't matter where you've been.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you said. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses and washes it all away.
Amen.
That is why I am so extremely thankful. And this verse has taught me thankfulness. It shows me where I started. It shows me where I've been. And more importantly, it shows me where I'm going to go. Not because of me, but because of what he did for me. Heaven. I don't deserve that. I know what I deserve. But because of him, And because I called upon him, I've got his guarantee in this book that he's never going to let me go.
Yeah.
And one day, hopefully soon, I will spend eternity with him. And I'll see my dad, I'll see my brother, I'll see my mom, I see countless loved ones in my family that I've never met. Hopefully I'll see them there.
What a day.
And hopefully see y'all there.
Amen.
And you're going to have to put up with me forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Forgot to say, you do have a time limit of 10 minutes, and he did fine. Craig is the one back there. Craig, wave your hand so everybody knows where you are. There he is. He's the one that's going to give you the warning. He's giving you the 5-minute, 2-minute, and a 0-minute warning. And then when I see the 0 pop up, I'm going to tackle you. I'm pretty sure my surgeons would be like, no. No. We don't want to try to put you back together. All right. Thank you so much for that, Chris. That is a great verse. That is a great verse. Let's go ahead and... Perry, you ready? Yeah? All right. Amen.
Oh, I'm good. I don't wander around.
Okay.
Nothing against that, Mike.
<You're right. laughs>
Not against that. All right. So thankfulness. Now, I was thinking about this thankfulness, and I started thinking about the value in it. My verse is a very well-known verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Should probably get over there. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks. And that's not where the verse stops, though. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So my walk with thankfulness came in stages, right? So before I got saved, I was thankful for stuff that I did, right? And then as a young believer, I was thankful for the things that are easy to be thankful for,
sure.
Right? Blessings would come, you'd be thankful for that. Kind of the easy stuff. Just knowing that it came from God, right? James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift come from above. So that's kind of easy to understand, right? But that's not all that verse says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says that it's God's will concerning you. It's God's will that we be thankful for everything. And that's not just the good things, right? I'm not going to say blessings because bad things can be blessings also, I think.
Yeah.
So why? Why should we be thankful for the hard times, the trials, the tribulations? I've always heard the story that, oh, you should be thankful if you got a flat tire because it saved you from getting in a wreck going down the road, right? And Maybe that's the case.
It's true.
I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. But for me, it hit home. I had some stuff going on. I won't go into all the details. But I remember talking to Mike down in the kitchen some years back. And we were talking about some family things that were going on that would be considered pretty bad things, trials, right? And he was kind of asking me, well, how are you going to respond to that? What do you think about that? So I thought, well, I should probably give this thankfulness thing a try, right? God says, in everything give thanks, right?
Yeah.
For all things. So in Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? in that fruit, he has some things in there like long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. And I don't think that you attain that fruit with easy times.
There you go.
Right?
Amen.
I think hard times plant those seeds. And I think that if we're going to be thankful in everything, we really need to especially be thankful for the trials that come. If we're going to grow at all, it's going to come not when everything's on easy street, right? There are certain pine cones that need to go through the fire before they let out their seeds, right? There are certain seeds that have those little parachute things on them that they need to go through storms to go to get planted, right? So I think being thankful in those really hard times, that's God's will for us because he knows that it's going to grow us and it's going to make us stronger. And there's another verse I want to turn to in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." God refers to those tribulations as our glory, as something that we have to glory about, because it's going to make us stronger and it's going to help us grow. It's going to plant those seeds. If tribulations equal glory to us, then that sounds like something that we ought to be thankful for. Amen.
All right. You know, just thinking about tribulations is there's wisdom there. You know, just contemplating those things and thinking about those verses. Amen. Thank you, Mike. All right, Josh, are you ready?
Yep.
All right.
You can have my other
5 minutes. Say
again? So you can have my other 5 minutes.
I do want my verse back. Mike Perry stole my verse. Well, one of them.
No, according to Mike Nemeth, he spoiled your verse.
All right. Well, I learned a habit that the pastor does often, and when he's reading a verse, I find that he goes a couple verses back and reads that. So I did that on this one, and so it's a little bit more than Mike mentioned, but if you would turn your Bible to James chapter 1, let's start in verse 12. It said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." The Bible tells us that God is not the tempter. And he points the finger back at us, because we tempt ourselves by lust. And every good gift comes down from God.
That's
right. So I'd like to talk a little bit about direction. This verse came to me one day when I was in the shower, like 4 years ago. I was in the depths of depression, and I had heard if you take a cold shower, you'll be in a better mood when you get out of the shower, which is true, which is very true. So I got in this habit, and I never really want to go in the shower now, but I'm always happy to get out. Always.
Yeah, yeah.
Always happy to get out. But then I was there torturing myself one day, and I realized there's a gift, and it's coming down on me right now. There's flowing water. And I was giving thanks that I had water to clean myself with, and in pain at the same time. But I started thinking about this word that the gifts come down, about the direction. Our desires that we have, our lusts that we have a different direction. They come up from the pits of hell. They come up from the dark pit of our fleshy hearts. Our desires come up, right? You see something shiny, see a nice car, you know, see somebody else who's got a prettier wife than you, if such a thing ever existed. I don't know.
That's good.
Right? Yeah.
That's good.
See a pile of money laying around, and your excitement is aroused. You are, your eyes have laid hold on something you really want, right? And those things kind of travel upward. They get us excited. They lift us up. We have hope that we have something that we don't have today. And we're looking down for our gifts instead of looking up. So we blind ourselves by saying, well, I got to look down at my hands. I got to work for this. I got to do something to make this happen, this thing that I want. But we have a Father, and He's above, and He gives us those things. And we blind ourselves if we just look down only and never look up to Him for what He gives. So a very simple message. What to be thankful for? Look up.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. How is everybody doing on time? They're doing good, aren't they? Yeah. I haven't seen any zeros necessarily slipping up yet. So all that time he's keeping track of.
No,
that...
no. You don't get it. You don't get it. You don't get it back. You get the same amount of time.
Brought to you.
Yeah, no. Just for that, Dan, you're off.
Amen. I love you, Dan. Thanks for coming
back. Psalm, the 18th Psalm. The 18th Psalm, and you're not obligated to clap when I'm done. I grew up in Columbia Falls, Montana, upper Flathead Valley, and my dad built a house in the early 60s, and across the street was a Baptist church, and the preacher came up and led him to the Lord. We started going to church there, and on the evening service, occasionally the pastor would lead the music, or he always did, and you get to pick. We have favorites tonight, you want to pick one, brother so-and-so, and somebody shout out a number. And I was little. I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and somebody would say, 8 in the back. If you look at our red hymnals, we have songs we put in the back. And ours are numbered sequentially, but in that hymnal, they weren't. There was just 8 in the back. Somebody had number 8 in the back. We sang 8 in the back, and it stuck with me. 25 years later, I was driving to work from Yakima to Ellensburg, and it was February, and I was it had snowed the night before, but it was like dust. It was just enough. It didn't get above freezing, so it was just that fluffy snow that followed every car. You've driven down the freeway in that big pile of rain that follows the truck in front of you. And so you kind of navigate through that. And okay, I got around him. There's no speed was involved. It's just normal speed stuff. Going up over the Menashtash Ridge and just I'm passing this truck. You know, you've been there, right? You're just, come on. You're saying to yourself, finally you break through that wake of snow. Oh, it's clear. And no sooner did I break through that one, and there's another one in front of me. So truck's in the right lane, I'm in the left lane, and it's getting, man, this one's bigger. Like wow, you know, and snow, and come on, buddy. In your mind, you're saying, come on, buddy, move over, get out of the way, I want through, right? And it's getting, wow, this is, and like that, bang. I just managed to move a little bit, but at full speed, I ran into the back of a snow plow going the same direction that I was going. Plowing snow into the median. And it was horrible. I mean, I impacted the back of the snow plow. Didn't even know there was a snow plow there. I don't even know what I hit when I hit it. A couple of seconds later, I can hear the engine going full blast, and whatever was playing in my stereo is up loud because now it's quiet. I turn the engine off, and I didn't even know how long I'd been there. And I looked to my left out the window that wasn't there anymore, and there's a snowplow parked right there. And it was the snowplow that I ran into. And I kind of came to, and I moved my feet, and I could move my feet, and they didn't hurt, and I moved my hips, and it didn't hurt, and I was observing myself, and there was no blood, and I looked in the rearview mirror that was gone, and I just patted my head down, and there was no blood, and I didn't know, and finally, and I got up on top of my head, and I felt some glass, and I think I picked it out. Couple minutes go by, I crawl out, Dukes the Hazzard style, out the window, jump down on the ground, and the guy in the snowplow is just looking at me like, what's this? I get out, he kind of waves me up, I go get in his truck, he radios up, tells somebody, I call my work, tell them I'm not going to be there, I'm late, or whatever I told them to say, and they did. Highway patrol shows up, ambulance shows up, I get in the ambulance, and I made my first cell phone call. In February 1992 or 3, big brick Motorola phones. My first call was in an ambulance. Called Sharon, and they take me to the hospital. And I get to the hospital, and they stitch my head up. And later, I end up going to the junkyard where my car got towed. And it's scary to look at today. I drove under the box on a dump truck and impacted the rear wheels. And the only reason I know this is that the dump truck driver told me a little bit of the story, and then I went and got in the car after it was wrecked, after I went to the hospital and went home and came back. I got back in the seat of the car, and the hood, the lid was down, whatever that's called, was down like this. The A-pillar was gone. The whole side of the car was ripped open. And in a Honda Accord, the windshield, it ends right about here when you're sitting there. I sat in the car, and a chunk of the windshield was gone. Right there. It was just gone. And I had moved, no, somebody pushed me over just enough. Yeah. And that box of that dump truck just right through, right over my shoulder, right through here, and just tore through the car. Ended up in the ER, and they stitched my head up, and I just felt like I was covered in glass. And I said, can I just take a shower? Is there a place that I can take a shower? By this time, I don't even feel bad. I feel just a little sore. But besides the cut on my head, I don't even feel that bad. It's like, no big deal. I didn't know what happened. I hadn't gone and looked at the car. I didn't even have a full picture of really what happened. I was walking down the hall to go to the shower, down in the doctor's quarters, wherever it was, and they were leading me down there. And two people that knew each other saw me walking down wherever we were going, and one of them said to the other one, they said, is that the snowplow guy? And they go, and he goes, really? So they had seen the wreck, aftermath of the wreck, and they couldn't believe snowplow guy even got out of the car.
Wow.
Had a similar reaction when I went to the junkyard 5 or 6 hours later, and the guys there said, you were driving that? And in the moment, you didn't realize it, but I was going down, got in the shower, and I just felt like I was covered in glass and was just showering off. And it just kind of hits you what happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world got really small. And I was just thankful to be there. Standing in the shower crying. And that song from 25 years ago started playing in my head.
Yeah.
It was 8 in the back. I don't remember the whole lyrics to the song, but it's, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free. But that day in the shower, it had different lyrics. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For giving to me one more day just to live and breathe. Mm-hmm. And I know that story is not in the Bible. I know that. But if you turn to the 18th Psalm and verse 49, this is the power of that song. The 18th Psalm, verse 49, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises to thy name. Standing in a shower, just thankful to be alive. And boy, am I thankful to be alive.
I love you.
I love you, Mike.
Amen. Just stay there in Psalms chapter 30.
I tell you what, I'm thankful for everybody's message so far. Those are great. Psalms chapter 30. And the Bible says, he says, I will extol thee, O Lord. David goes through here, and in that last verse it says he's going to pretty much extol him to the end, that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord. My God, I will give thanks unto thee for how long?
Forever.
I like how David goes through here and he says over here, and I had to look this word up, Brother Dan. It says, I will extol thee, O Lord. And I started thinking, you know what extol means? It means to lift up highly, to praise. It carries the idea of having some emotion. It also means to praise enthusiastically. And I started thinking to myself, I said, you know, I need some extol. You know what I don't need? I don't need Tylenol. I don't have a headache. I don't have a toothache. I don't got a fever. I don't need Farbital. Did I say that right, Brother Dan?
No, but keep going.
I've made these other ones, I sounded them out how they sound, so maybe I'll say it right. I don't need Atenolol.
Nice.
I don't need Metoprolol.
Nice.
I don't need Bisoprolol. Close but no cigar. I don't need Carvedilol.
Nice.
And I certainly don't need alcohol. It says alcohol is not the same as extol. You might be praising enthusiastically, but it is not being when you're being loud and obnoxious and singing the songs of fools. That is not extolling.
Right.
that is being annoying. Nobody wants to be around you. Amen. Effects of extol. You might show some emotion when talking about God. You might get excited. You might tear up a little bit when you have extol. You might leap for joy like the lame man in Acts. You might lift up your voice and shout. You don't necessarily have to, but David says it in 32:11. He says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." You might lift up your voice. You might be thankful for what He's done and extol about that. You might extol that He saved your soul from hell. Amen. Romans 5:6, that's my verse. I won't go into that. I'm on a time limit. You might extol that He saved your friends and family. You might extol that He answered your prayer. You might just shout for joy how thankful you are. Signs you might need extol. I know it's starting to sound like a commercial, but signs you might need extol. God lifted you up, and people couldn't talk bad about you. You didn't fall, and God lifted you up. You say, where do you get that? I get that in verse number 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Amen. God ever lift you up? You got something to shout about. You got something to be thankful for. You got something to extol about. Verse number 2, I mean, you can extol about how God, you prayed unto Him and He healed you. We could go through here and Chris, Linda, Dennis, Pastor, me, probably go through every single person in here. God healed us of some sort. Amen. And we could extol on that. Verse number 3, that God saved you from hell. Verse number 4, you can said sing unto, you can extol, you can sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and it, saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. I looked at that. You know, that song popped up in my heart. It says, "Holy, holy, holy is the God Almighty." And I looked it up, and I didn't have a church hymnal, but I had this hymnal at my house. It's an old one. Praises and hymns from something, something. And I said, "Man, what song is it?" And I looked up, and I looked up in the back of the head. You know what page number that was on? 1. He knew it. That's correct. Page number 1, I said, man, this guy must have been led from the Lord. I'm going to put holy, holy, holy on page number 1. Thank you, brother. I was tickled when I seen it. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Verse number 5, you might extol that you were sad and weeping, but joy came not long after. Verse number 5. For His anger endureth but for a moment, His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh. It might not have came that right next day, but I'll tell you what, I've been depressed and joy came thereafter. I can testify to that, and I'm thankful for it. You might extol verse number 6 and 7. They set your feet upon a rock, and you know that the foundation is sure. Thank you, brother. That no man can pluck you out of His hand, and where He goes, you'll be there also. Amen. You're going to be with the Lord forever, like the book says. We'll rejoice there together. We'll be giving thanks forever. You might extol that you can, that you need extol that you can pray and be heard. Verse number 8. Verse number 8. I cried unto thee, Lord, and unto Him I made my supplication. Signs you need extol. Verse number 9. You can praise Him in truth and declare His truth. He says, "What profit is there in my blood, when I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth?" You know, I like who else said that, who said something similar about extolling and giving thanks? Nebuchadnezzar's last words, after he came out from being a field chicken or whatever you want to say. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and in His ways judgment, and those that walk in pride He is able to abase." Those are his last words of, "Thank you, Lord. I don't want to go through that again." He said, "Man, I'm all about praising and extolling the Lord. I'm going to declare His truth." Verse number 10, you can plead with Him. You can extol with the Lord. You can plead with Him and He'll help you. Can I get a witness right there? You've prayed and the Lord's answered your prayer. You'd be thankful. Verse number 11. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put my sackcloth and girded, put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. You know what? That's really hard to do without emotion. You're going to look like a fool if you do, or a dork at the least. But he says in verse number 12, to the end that I may glory, may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord. My God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And I got 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but we've already heard that. Of course, when you're in that commercial, side effects of extol. Here it is. Emotionless people probably get upset with it. I have to say it. Because sometimes you're going to be saying, thank you, Jesus. And some person might sit up in the front row and thank the Lord like this, or just come up and weep. And they're going to be just, somebody's just going to be upset that they did that.
True.
And if you're that person, you're a dirt bag. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Shall the dust praise thee? You're a praiseless dirt bag. You're an extolless dirt bag. You're miserable. You're comfortless. You never dance. You just mourn. Nobody likes being around you. Maybe you need to get saved.
Yeah.
Nothing better than that. Maybe you need to say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Yeah.
Been there? I've been there. Other side effects may include... it'll help you. God's worthy of being praised. He's worthy of being shouted to. Others will extol. Others will get help, hope, and happiness. Others may sing, rejoice, and be joyful. And I pray like this. I said, Lord, I pray I put a smile on your face today. Especially with the foolishness of preaching like this message. He is worthy of all praise. Would you extol the Lord? Would you give Him thanks forever? Amen.
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 I love you.
I stayed my dear old
time. You did. I'll tell you this. You know, it's an amazing thing to sit there and think about. You know, you hear those pharmaceutical commercials, and what do they always say? May cause death.
Yeah.
Stalling the Lord isn't going to cause death. Amen. It's really bad is like, you know, when Dan and I are sitting there going, yeah, we can relate to that message.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. You know, there's a lot in the Bible that talks about thanks and thanksgiving, and you just run any sort of search on that word and, you know, kind of the partials of it and the derivatives of it, and whether it's thanksgiving, thankfulness, thankful, whatever it may be, you start digging through that and you find there's hundreds of references. And, you know, obviously sit down and choose one is can be struggling and difficult. But I'll tell you this, the one verse that I... that really kind of, if you will, got me to think about being thankful is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. One thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is that when you are of a thankful heart and a thankful spirit, there's a sacrifice that's involved. I mean, you go over there and you see in the Old Testament and they're giving sacrifices and offerings and all sorts of stuff for various different reasons. And there was an offering of thanksgiving that was there. And I began to realize when I looked at this verse a while back that is an important sacrifice that we have to make. And what that means is that in order to do sacrifice, you have to be purposing it. you can't just, how do I phrase this? You just can't be so habit formed that it just comes out without meaning. I'm sure most of us were taught to say please and thank you. Amen. And we realize that that's an important thing. I mean, you know, you go to Chick-fil-A and you say thank you, and what do they say? My pleasure. And you know, there's obviously jokes about that, and people don't get it. And you know, you can tell people that have worked at Chick-fil-A because that's how they respond. Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. And again, it kind of becomes habit forming. Because you develop that. And sometimes the words are said without even actually putting thought into it. And it's just automatic. And if there's one thing that I've often said and I've realized, you know, in my Christian life, and I will tell you this, growing up in church, a lot of things became automatic. Singing became automatic. Praying became automatic. Reading my Bible became automatic. It's just like there was nothing to it. And, you know, I know this is a poor correlation, but if you've ever fired a weapon that has the ability to shoot, quote unquote, automatic, where it's just one bullet after another with one single press of a trigger, you know, it can be terrifying and it can be amazing to watch, but I will tell you this, it can be scary. There was an individual one time and he had was testing this firearm that was supposed to shoot 3 rounds and then you had to pull the trigger again 3 rounds. And something in the pistol, this was a pistol, it malfunctioned. And it had an 18-round magazine, and now just this little piece of plastic just snapped inside the gun. And you pulled the trigger, and all 18 rounds, like that. That specific handgun had a what they refer to as cyclic rate of 2,000 rounds per minute. And it was just a hair's breadth. He just went, and all 18 rounds... Before the first casing hit the ground, the magazine was empty. And he was terrified. And I'll tell you this, a lot of times in the Christian life, that's what things happen with us. We just get automatic. We just let it all come out, and all of a sudden we realize, oh, that's not quite what I meant. That's not quite what I was supposed to be doing. And when I see this verse here, what I see is it teaches me that the sacrifice of praise to God is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. It means it's got to be purposeful. Sacrifice just can't be sacrifice if it's just casual and it's just done without intent. It's got to be something that we purpose to do. Take a look over in Luke chapter 6, and I had kind of referenced this morning when we had touched on this. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, Christ is talking to his disciples. He's teaching them, and he says in verse 30, he says, "Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them that love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same." Sometimes I think, you know, we enter into this mindset of obligatory words. We have to say something. We have to use this, we have to say that. And again, I understand the whole concept of being taught manners. and saying, thank you, but I don't think that the Lord intended us ever to enter into a mindset of where we're just saying thank you, just as kind of, if you will, an automatic response. Every word that we say should be purposed. And when I think about Hebrews 13:15, it just really sets into my mind that mindset of, I need to be purposeful with the words that I say. And I need to, when I say thank you, mean it. Mean it. The other day, you all gave me a bunch of cards that, for my birthday, that really kind of got to me. And there was gifts and stuff. And again, I don't say this lightly, and I will never say thank you lightly because of that verse. Thank you. It means a lot. You know, sinners, as he says here, they do the same thing. But a lot of times it has no meaning. When somebody does something for you and you love them because they love you, it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Same thing when when good is done. As he says, sinners do the same thing. Somebody helps you, somebody does something, and what do? You're just like, oh, thank you. And it's just kind of said so casually and flippantly sometimes. But if there's one thing that I understand from Scripture is that the sacrifices that took place in the Old Testament weren't casual. And I believe that they were done for a reason. Obviously to represent what is happening at the cross. But when you've got some poor little lamb there, and you have a bull there, or you've got two birds, the pigeon, little doves, turtle doves, you can't do that casually. And if there's one thing I know about the sacrifice that was at Calvary, it was not casual. It was purposeful. Everything that he went through. And if there's one thing that I've ever learned about saying thank you and giving a thanks to God specifically, I don't ever want to be casual. I want to purposely say thank you. The song that Dan referenced, I've heard that one hundreds and hundreds of times. There's verses and hymns in our hymnals that we have that talk about giving of thanks to the Lord. And if there's one thing I know is that those hymns cannot be sung just like casual in their nature. Everything we say, according to that verse, is a fruit that bears a seed. And it can bear some pretty nasty seeds sometimes. And some pretty nasty consequences. But if we purpose that the fruit of our lips would be the praise to God, the thanksgiving to God, for everything, as we've heard throughout all of these messages, it will change the way you think. It will change the way you respond. I thank God for all of you. I thank God for this church. I thank God for His Word. I thank God for all the things that He has ever shown me, given to me, protected me, cared for me, every provision I've ever had. One of the things that I kind of learned at a very young age was before I ever go to Him to ask for anything, I got to be thankful for what He has given to me. Every time I pray, and this is just me, it's always, starting off with, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well, I have been so blessed today by the messages that you guys have brought, and you know, it always thrills my soul, especially when you have your assistant pastor come up and call everybody dirtbags. Amen. Amen. It's true. Go back in there and think about that. Think about the etymology of the word dirtbag. Where does that come from? Where do we come from?
Dirt.
And if you've got, don't have Jesus in you, what are you?
Dirt.
You're just dirt. There's just no life the way it's supposed to be. The way that the Lord has designed it to be. So there's some truth to that. Praise God. Praise God. He's getting doctrinally correct callings of dirtbags. Oh, man. Well, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. I thankful for everyone here. If you have any potluck dishes or something downstairs, please make sure you collect them. Is there a bunch of leftovers and things still, or did it all get eaten? So if there's leftover food, it's up for grabs. Yeah. So as the cranberry sauce is going by and you want to just grab a ladle and just like, feel free. Just make sure you collect those because we don't try to keep those around. So if it was your mother's favorite dish, please make sure you pick it up. So, Brother Mike Perry, Perry. There we go. I'll get it right. Would you dismiss this in a word of prayer, please?